This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hey gang, it's Frank. Get ready for part two of Hot Off the Press with Terrence Clark.
I don't know, Frank, if they had a great revelation that this is the Lamb of God. But all I know, this dude that was so full of love, right. They came to him. And back when kids had a hard life back in the days when Jesus was walking the face of the earth, but the kids came to this guy that was supposed to be a prophet. And we know because the disciples were saying, get away from him. And I'm sure they probably experienced that with other men of God that were back at that time.
Sure.
But this dude said, no, you let him come through.
Let him
and
come, that's
took
right.
him into his arms and he blessed them. So when we're out there doing the characters, and I'm saying Lazarus is comparing him with Jesus, but Jesus is in us.
Yeah.
And when he came and taking the kids into his arm and blessing them, there's so much negativity. It got to the place, Brother Frank, that because of what the stupid stuff that the devil has done, that you halfway, you know, you got to be careful everything you do. I'm a word in that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
But to have the love of God and to embrace a child or to high five a child or lay hands on the top of a child's head.
Right.
And inside, you know, I'm blessing them.
That's right.
That's an awesome thing.
That is an awesome, thing. Now, you know what? I wouldn't worry about Santa Claus. Lose some weight first, and then we'll talk. Take care of your body, will you?
That's good.
Oh, hallelujah. I would really like it for you to tell that vision you had about the playground.
I was sitting in church, Sunday morning service, and the pastor had just got up to preach. And while he's preaching, I get a vision. The Lord does this to me from time to time. Not an open vision. I wasn't transported somewhere. But he just takes a hold of my imagination. It's like watching television.
Yeah.
You know, I still hear the pastor preaching and so forth and where I'm at.
Which is so cool that the pastor can be preaching. God can tell you something without interrupting the pastor.
Yes.
Or the
yes.
preacher.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
And it's a playground. I'm seeing a playground. And I'm hearing the sound of children laughing. Like, they're on the swings. They're playing. They're running around. And the sensing is that it's such a good time being had.
Okay.
Well, right in the middle of the playground are these three figures. And for the vision, the way I saw it, I couldn't make out their too much distinct form concerning them, but I knew there were three beings. They were wrestling. They were like good old-fashioned wrestling, and they were laughing. And they were, and you just sensed that they were just having it wasn't a care in the world. They were having such a good time. And I'll never forget, brother. All of a sudden, they stopped for a second, and one of them just reached up and stuck his head up out of the pile and sighed. And when he stuck his head up, I knew who it was the Father. So you know where I'm going with this. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he just stuck his head up and he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness.
Yeah.
And I got it. If it's such a thing of getting it, I got it.
Right, right.
And I just knew that everything, when he created us, he created man, it was for fellowship. And
amen.
God just wanted to. It was just as if that we're having such a good time in this Father, Son, Holy Ghost relationship that we just need to share it with
amen.
Somebody like
That's
us.
Right.
And so
That's
he
right.
created man for the purpose of sharing his love.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So the three beings, let's
yes,
say,
yes.
that were like kind of wrestling and just kind of like, you know, with each other was Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father.
And the Father. And you couldn't tell them apart, man. But it's just the only distinguishing thing was that they were just having so much good time. It didn't make a difference. They were having a good time.
I like that. Let us make man in our own image. As if to say, you know, we talked about how we should make man, how we shouldn't make him. You know what? Let's just make him like us.
Yes, yes.
That's all.
Yeah, yeah. Man was born. I'm not saying that man was born out of a whim of God, but man was born out of the breath of God's laughter, if I could say it that way.
That's great.
It was in a moment of laughter. I'll just say, your listeners can interpret it anyway. If you want to say it, a moment of godly ecstasy, man was birthed out of that. Let us make man.
Mm.
And I believe, brother, that even though with sin and all that ugly stuff that happened, and of course Jesus redeemed us, I believe in the mind of God that it's still that way to Him.
Yes.
I never forget, sir, that I asked the Lord one time. I said, Lord, remember when Israel got delivered out of Egypt? 400 years of bondage, and you sent Moses to get them out. And now, finally, they're at the base of the mountain.
Right.
And you're getting the fellowship with your people. I said, that had to have been the greatest time. He said, no, that wasn't the greatest time. And then he took me to when Jesus walked the face of the earth. I said, Lord, there you are. You're right in the middle of you hugging children. You're laying hands on them. Lord, you're eating with them. That had to have been the greatest time. He said, no, that wasn't the greatest time. I said, Lord, what's the greatest time? He says, now I live in you.
Oh, dude, you're messing me up over here, man. Oh, wow.
God. Hallelujah.
So He lives in you.
He lives in us.
So when you examine yourself.
Yes, sir.
For the time of communion.
Yes. Yeah, that's the examination right there.
Oh,
we try to examine yourself, try to find some sin. As we were talking the other day, we're trying to make up some stuff.
That's
I looked at that that man wrong when I turned into the driveway. Right. I killed a fly. God, that's what it is. Forgive me.
That's your creation, Lord.
now I can take communion. No, the examination was because they were coming to communion supper and they were eating meals and not thinking about their poor brother. And so forth. And Paul just said about the Holy Spirit, he said, you got food at home. Eat at home. When you come together, this is for the Lord's Supper.
Right.
So the examination was supposed to make sure that I understand my place in the body of Christ and my brother and sister's place in the body of Christ and my relationship to my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ.
Right.
Communion was supposed to be a relationship thing. It's what Jesus has done. But it's not just with Jesus.
So much
it's
more
what,
than that.
It's so much more.
Oh.
It's who we are in Him to each other. The body of Christ is the greatest thing there it is on the face of this earth right now.
Why do we have to complicate things so much? Why do we got to? Isn't it hard enough?
That's Satan. He came in the Garden of Eden and said, didn't God say? It's a question.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, you're enjoying life. You're enjoying the Garden of Eden. Why? It's not that hard. What is there to think about? God doesn't want you to know good and evil. Yeah, I don't want to know evil either. This is good.
And it's like, yeah, okay, so.
Yeah.
And your point?
Yeah. Oh, man.
But you know what? Eve didn't know the word.
No, that's true.
God told that to Adam.
Right.
And then He made Eve.
Yeah, that's right.
But Adam was standing right there next to her.
Right.
Me and my wife, we used to think Adam was in some field somewhere, you know.
No.
He was standing right there. Yeah. Kenneth Copeland goes... He thinks that the forbidden fruit was a fig. That's what he believes. It's not in the Bible, but you know, neither is apple. But it just says fruit. The reason he thinks it was a fig is because they grabbed the nearest thing, fig leaves.
That's good.
And they made a fig soup.
That's good.
Out of there. You know what I mean?
That's good.
So, you know, but back to real quick how you say that, let us make man in our own image. My wife Christina, when she was preaching Friday night about getting the revelation of the love of God, she got out of Kenneth Copeland's book, The Blessing of the Lord.
Yeah.
That God made man because He wanted someone to love.
That's it. And that gets right back to that vision.
Right back to that vision, man. Yeah. Let's make man our own image. Yeah. Why? So we could just hang out, just play, and just enjoy, and just fellowship, partnership, which means there's an exchange happening.
Yeah.
There's living together. You know what I mean? Yeah. Blessing each other.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just want people to get this. I want people to get this. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Praise God.
Brother T, man, I know... there's something else on your heart, and I want you to feel free to exhort.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
Okay.
Listeners, buckle up, because I don't know where this is going to go, but I know it's going to be good, so enjoy the ride. Terrence, you got the floor, my man.
Praise God. Frank, beginning of the end of last year, beginning of this year, the Lord shared me. He always gives me a word, and most of the time, it's not just for me. A lot of times, it's for the whole body of Christ, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of last year, I was again in a church service, and my pastor got up to pray, and he was beginning to prophesy. And right in the middle of his prophecy, the Lord began to speak to my heart.
Okay.
And the Lord just spoke to me. So He said, 2013 will be an apostolic year. I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what that means. I know what apostolic meant in the way of a denomination. I know what apostle was and apostolic move.
Right.
What do you mean about apostolic year? He took me over to Acts chapter 1, where right before Jesus returned to heaven, He told the disciples, they were questioning, well, Lord, when you're coming back? He told them, basically, in paraphrasing, He says, don't worry about that. You go into Jerusalem, and wait, and you're going to be due with power from high. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and you'll be witnesses to me in Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the earth.
That's right.
So there was a power of God, just quickly, that God said that I'm going to give you something that is going to back up your witness of me. So I like to say, just skipping ahead, that what God has called us to do as a witness is not just us.
Okay.
And we talk about the power of God for healing and deliverance and so forth like that, and that's true.
Right.
But notice what he said here. He said, you're going to be, the power of God's going to come on you to be a witness.
Okay.
So when I open up my mouth and testify of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will back me up with his power.
Amen.
So the Lord told me that in chapter 1, they chose, because Judas had hung himself, so there was a vacancy.
Right,
there was
right.
an open position.
Position of
so,
help wanted.
So you know the story. They cast lots and it fell on Matthias. So Matthias became the 13th apostle.
That's right.
So the Lord took me from there. And right in that he says that there's going to come a change in the dispensation in 2013. Now, he's really got me, because I don't know what he's talking about right here, but I'm open, Lord. Tell me what you mean. And he said, well, Lord, we're in the dispensation of grace. I know you're not talking about that. He said, no, there's going to be a change in the flow of the Spirit. And he said, 2013 will be the year of souls. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. That I know every year, really, as a church and our evangelism should be year of souls. But I believe God is doing something this year. There's a speeding up of things. That God is reaching out to win. And I'm hearing a lot of people talk about that. I turned on the TV right after that, and Billy Graham was talking about that big soul campaign that they're building up for this year. It's supposed to culminate in November. And all this is happening while I'm standing right there in that little moment of time. He took me over to Luke 14:23. I didn't know what Luke 14:23 at that moment. Moment I went back looking up. It gives the story of the man that has the great feast.
Okay, yeah.
And he invited three sets of people. One married a wife, brought a cow, had some field.
Right.
Those couldn't come. They wouldn't come.
Right, okay.
So he said, go onto the street, bring in the lame, the maimed, the halt. So there was a group of people, he told them to bus in. They can't get here.
Right.
So you bus them in.
Right.
So they went and got them. And they came back. And this is how I know that God is in. Some people say, is God in the big churches? Well, I believe he is. One, because he has a big church.
Right, sure.
Yeah, it's pretty big. And thank God he's a big church. So he said, my house is still not full.
Mm, that's right.
So he's in the numbers.
Yeah, he is.
He said, it's not full. So he said, told him what to do. He said, go into the highways and hedges.
That's it.
And he said, compel them to come.
Compel them.
So I went and did some research and looked up the word compel. And the word compel means there's a passionate part of your evangelism of telling people about the Lord. But one of the words means to threaten. I said, well, that's pretty bold. Threaten.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, that's kind of different, because we've been told in these last years that we have to be very sensitive with our witness.
That's right. Your kindness will lead them to repentance.
We don't want to offend anybody.
Right, exactly.
Well, not according to that. He's talking about offend them, because when we understand that and you shared this the other day, that we stand between somebody's eternity of heaven or hell. And somebody in my listeners, what do you mean I stand? No, I believe the two greatest things in a believer's life is not when you got married, if you're married. It's not your bar mitzvah. It's not your first movie or ice cream cone.
Even your first kiss.
Or your first kiss.
That's right.
The two greatest things in a person's life, one, when you got saved.
That's right.
And the second, when you lead somebody else to the Lord.
Amen.
And I tell you, there's nothing like it.
I agree.
And so he took me there and he said, compel them to come. So you go out. And what the Lord said, I will back you up. My power will be there to back up your witness.
Mm.
But then he took me over to, it's in St. John, so you can look it up. It's in there. But where the Lord said, I believe it's chapter 12, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I looked at the word draw, and the word draw in there is a word not compel, but it's a word that means impel.
Mm.
Well, compel is from the outside. I'm calling to you. Jesus will save you. He will change your life.
And you shake him, right.
You're shaking him. Impel is a drawing from the inside.
It's an inner thing, okay.
The Holy Spirit begins to convict. And he tells you, you need this. So he said, if we will compel, he will do the impelling. Because I can't save anybody. It's a together thing.
It's a partnership.
It's a partnership. He said, you tell him, I will back you up with the Holy Spirit, and I will move in that witness that you witness of me, and I will move them to come to me. And that's where I believe God is turning up. Now, in that change of the dispensation, I didn't know. It was kind of an interesting thing. I didn't know beginning of the year that in the Catholic Church, there was a change in their dispensation.
Yes, there was.
I didn't know that.
Yes, there January. Was. Absolutely.
But I believe there's some other things to come that's coming concerning it. But in the last point with that, I did a study a couple of years ago, actually 2008, right before the fall, the economy fall. Mm-hmm. The Lord had me to teach on economy, January of that year. And I did a study on economy. And one of the words for the word economy is the word house. So now every time I read the Bible and I see the word house, I put in the word economy. The man that built his economy on the rock when the rain and the winds came, it didn't fall. The man that built his economy on the sand when the wind and the waves came, it fell.
Yeah, sure.
So everywhere I see the word economy, I put in a house. I
put in the word economy. That works.
So now you take that and put it in Luke 14:23. He said, my economy is still not full. We've looked at this thing of the blessing of God. I believe the blessing of God. The rich are going to come in, and then they're going to fund the gospel. I believe that's part true. God uses everybody. Amen. But there's another aspect of that. When we begin to tell the young lady who's raising a child by herself, there's no father in the household. Right. She don't know the Lord. And we go witness to her in the power of God. We compel and the Lord impels. Right. She accepts the Lord. And the blessing floods down to her.
Right.
And she gets hold of Jesus and the kingdom of God. And God blesses her. Then she comes into the kingdom of God, bringing in that blessing along with her.
That's it.
Bringing multiplication, redounding.
That's it.
To thanksgiving to God. And then the guy that lives next to her, who's a drug dealer, and he says, well, I didn't see her go and do anything. She doesn't have, she didn't see her do anything fantastic. All I know, she's going down to that church down on the corner.
Right. That's right.
He sees that. If God did that for her, perhaps, peradventure, he'll do that for me.
Abundant, overflowing blessing. Grace.
For the blessing to be the blessing,
yes,
it must measure itself.
Yes.
Not only on the elite in the body of Christ.
Preach
it. It must measure itself all the way down to the one that just got saved a second ago.
It
had nothing to depend on except the Lord. I believe that's what God wants to do in these final hours. God wants to show itself off that there's no question at all. So somebody can say, the reason why they're blessed is because their members sow them an offering. No, but when the person comes in that doesn't have anything to depend on, but God manifests money out of a cup of coffee, manna from heaven, I don't care how he does it.
Yeah.
I just believe there's going to be more than that. There's going to be more multiplication of fish and loaves in these last days that we live in.
Ooh.
God is going to do some things.
That is good
and I
stuff,
believe,
bro.
I know some people say that he's not raining it down from heaven. I don't limit him. He wants to rain it
Amen.
Down
Amen. I'm
heaven.
With you on that.
Rain it down.
Amen. I'm totally with you. We talk about that all the time. Well, so-and-so says that he doesn't do, that would be counterfeit money. I'm like, look, let me tell you what. All the money belongs to him anyway. So forget that. It all belongs
Amen.
To him.
Amen.
You know what I mean? I'm standing in line. I have $80 in cash on me. I get up to the front of the line to buy something. I open it up. It's $80. And there's also a $100 bill in the center of it that wasn't there before.
Amen.
Oh, well, you may have just overlooked. I didn't overlook. No, I didn't overlook no $100 bill. You know what I mean? Coming up out of a coffee cup, doing whatever. You say how the Holy Spirit, he backs it up. Scripture confirms that.
Amen.
Praise wow. God. I'll provide for all your needs according to my riches and glory.
Amen. Instead of staying home taking care of the cow in the field because you think that's your source.
Mm-hmm.
They came out to the meeting. They came out to... All he wanted to do was feed them.
That's all.
They came to bless them. And while they was there, they got not just what was on the table, the meat and the potatoes. They got everything else that went along with that.
Hallelujah. Thank
Praise
you, Lord.
God.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, Lord Jesus. I'll tell you what. This is good
stuff. Amen.
And wasn't there something you wanted to ask the listeners to do?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay, listeners, we have more homework for you, so go get a pen.
This is 2013, and one of the things that our magazine, The Voice of One, publishes is testimonies, we stated earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a campaign this year for 2013 testimonies for the year 2013. So we're asking saints of God, children of God, believers all across the world to send in their testimony, big to the small, from healing to deliverance to financial breakthroughs, miracles to salvation. Perhaps it's somebody you've been praying for years and it just came into the Lord. We want to report on this. We want to tell the world about what God has done. I don't care if God's healed you from a hangnail. Praise God.
Whatever it is.
It needs to be. I've had problems with hangnails in the past, and if I found out somebody got healed from a hangnail, I want to know about that.
Absolutely. So then you can know that he'll heal you from a hangnail.
Amen.
Now, what's the website?
The website is voiceofoneonline.com.
Okay.
That's correct.
voiceofoneonline.com.
Right.
Where do they? Where would they send these testimonies? Do they send them in video form, in written form, in audio form? Like, how do you want them?
Well, we prefer in where we're at right now with the written magazine for them to be in word form. And
okay.
They can send it to our email address.
Which is?
theofnumber1@aol.com.
Okay, so V as in voice.
Yes.
O is in of, F is in the second part of. I'm really confusing them. So it's V is in Victor.
Yes.
O F, the number one.
Yes.
No, don't spell that one. At AOL.com.
Right.
That's where they're going to send the test, their
That's
testimonies.
The testimony.
Okay, you hear that, everybody? You send your testimonies to V O F numeral one at AOL.com. Brother, I'll tell you what, man. This was awesome.
Amen. Yes.
We got to have you back very, very soon.
Praise God. Love to.
Listeners. Encourage Pastor Terrence. Oh, I just said Pastor Terrence. Is that prophetic?
Long as prophetic and not pathetic. I'm okay. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be a pathetic pastor.
There you go, amen.
But it's pathetic, I will. We'll take
amen.
It.
You'll do whatever the Lord wants you to do.
Amen.
Well, we're going to close up shop here today. Join us next week. Yeah, we are back to the weekly podcast. I got all your emails. We got all your videos. We know, and Christina has been saying, I want it back on a weekly basis too. So we're back on a weekly basis. So stop emailing that you want it every week. You got what you wanted. You prayed for it. And there you go. So until next week, stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries, seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.